verses 6 through 8. Ethan, you're dressed like a banker today. Romans 2, 6 through 8. Who will read that? Somebody? Okay. Kay is going to read it. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath will come upon them. So what something stuck out at me with this, and it was the patient continuance in doing good. Continuance is a practice. We see in verse 1, I'm going to read that. Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same thing. So when I see this continuance, it correlates to the practice. So this is their way. It is a way in doing good. So their goal, their end result goal, would be glory, honor, and immortality. But the word, two words that really stuck out at me was patient continuance. So we have patient. Where does patience come into play? When disappointed. And when are we disappointed? When expectations are not met. So expectations are not met, so we're disappointed, so we need to exercise patience. If all of our expectations were met, we wouldn't have to exercise patience. Everything would be great. So who is being disappointed and what are the expectations? So this person, by patient continuance. So who is being disappointed and what are the expectations? By patient continuance in doing good. So why would you need to use patient continuance in doing good? Well, he is, but I think this is a pretty much overall. So, if you expect for yourself to do good continually, is that possible? No. It is not possible to do good continually.
And I have a note that the commentator in this particular version of the Bible has, and it's an interesting thought. It says, Paul is not contradicting his continual emphasis in all his writings, including Romans, that a person is saved not by what he does, but by faith in what Christ does for him. Rather, he is discussing the principle of judgment according to the deeds. Deeds, what you do. If anyone persists in doing good deeds, that is, lives a perfect life, he will receive eternal life. But no one can do this.
That's right. And what I want to focus on is the life we're going to live here in our desire, our effort to continue to do good. How important is patience How important is patience? Why is it so important? We are quick to judge. I would like to focus on our patience with ourselves first. So, when we don't, where could we fail? Anybody? Yeah, where could we fail ourselves? Our expectation for ourselves. Well, it is. So, what if on a...
Let's just be real simple.
Yes.
A lot of us think tomorrow is Monday, and I'm going to accomplish this and this and this. Maybe we've got a list even. And oftentimes, we don't get through our list. Maybe we don't do anything on our list. That's just a very simple illustration of how, on a daily basis, we probably find ways that we didn't do what we had expected ourselves to do. Maybe the cake falls. There are
right.
lots of ways
sure, there are.
That our expectations are not met. And then we hit the ones that are bigger when... For example, our expectations in life are not met. We don't achieve the level of job that we'd like to have. We don't have the kind of comfort financially that we'd like to have. There are all kinds of expectations when we're coming along that are often not met.
Right.
We can get really impatient about anything that's an expectation.
And so, I would like to use an example. We'll say someone needs some help. And they know I can help. They ask me for help. But, you know, I'm a Chiefs fan. I like to watch the game. So, I don't help them. I expect more out of myself than that. I expect that I would have given up that game to help a brother. And so, I'm disappointed. And what does God say about seeing good to do and not doing it? What does He say about that? It is a sin. So, I can put myself ahead of God. I can not come to church Sunday night because, well, I don't want to. I can do a lot of things, spiritual things, and that would not meet my expectation. And I would be disappointed in myself because I set a higher standard for myself and didn't meet it. So, another thing is, if we do good continually, in our mind, we do good continually, and we do good for a lot of people. Yet, nothing good is done for us. We think that everybody thinks like we do, right? And so...
Or ought to.
That's right. They ought to think like we do. So, you know, those things don't happen. And so your expectation is not met. And so you're like, why am I doing this? But you need to do it. Because that's what God gave you to do. Even though your expectations aren't met, you need to be patient. You need to be patient. And, yes, okay.
Get out and read. Yep. And if it didn't rain, you would go out and read. There's Well, you said to Arnold, you get out.
So you set goals for Arnold. That's what you're thinking. While we're talking about patience, I thought it would be a good idea to look at 1 Corinthians 13. We don't have to. Well, let's go ahead and go there. 1 Corinthians 13. You know where I'm going with that, don't you? Mm-hmm. And though I have the... In verse 2. Chapter 13, verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries... and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. What else do you have?
Mine says love is patient.
Love is patient. Love is kind. So, it just happens that... a friend of mine, actually Joe, sent me this text. And I have actually needed this about 3 times since then. And this is a little writing about burned biscuits. Has anybody ever heard that? Burned biscuits. I'm gonna give it to you. Burned biscuits. When I was a kid, my mom liked to make breakfast food for dinner every now and then. And I remember one night in particular when she had made breakfast for, after a long time, hard day at work. On that evening, so long ago, my mom placed a plate of eggs, sausage, and extremely burned biscuits in front of my dad. I remember waiting to see if anyone noticed. Yet all my dad did was reach for the biscuits, smile at my mom, and ask me how my day was at school. I don't remember what I told him that night, but I do remember watching him smear butter and jelly on that ugly burned biscuit. He ate every bite of that thing, never made a face, nor uttered a word about it. When I got up from the table that evening, I remembered hearing my mom apologize to my dad for burning the biscuits. And I'll never forget what he said. Honey, I love you. Oh, no, honey, I love burnt biscuits every now and then. Later that night, I went to kiss Daddy goodnight, and I asked him if he really liked his biscuits burnt. He wrapped me in his arms and said, "Your mama put in a hard day at work today, and she's really tired. And besides, a little burnt biscuit never hurt anybody. As I've grown older, I've thought about that many times. Life is full of imperfect things and imperfect people. I'm not the best at anything, and I forget birthdays and anniversaries just like everyone else. But what I've learned over the years is that learning to accept each other's faults and choosing to celebrate each other's differences is one of the most important keys to creating a healthy, growing, and lasting relationship. And that's my prayer for you today, that you'll learn to take the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of your life and lay them at the feet of God. Because in the end, He's the only one who will be able to give you a relationship where a burnt biscuit isn't a deal breaker." So while we are patiently, continuance, and patient continuance doing good, we're going to run into all kinds of unmet expectations. And so we need to be patient.
A preacher one time, I'm talking about if you pay the banker.
Yes.
I'm talking about a child requires patience. And he said, do you know how you gain patience? And I said, what? And he said, I'm tried.
Yes. You are tried. So we, when we're looking at our expectations for others, I remember speaking to a lady who was really upset at her grown grandson. And I said, are you sure he knows why you're mad? No, he doesn't know. I go, does he know what you expect of him? No, he doesn't know. I go, well, how can you be upset at him for not meeting your expectations when he doesn't know them? And when you look at this room full of people, how does anybody know my expectations for them? Or your expectations for me? And when we, like everybody else, decide that you should be thinking like I think, because everybody thinks like I think, and so the first thing we do is, in our impatience, we start to judge. Well, then that means this, or that means that.
You're an idiot.
Or you can't. What is wrong with you? You know, this biscuit thing, I'm like, that's your job. You cook breakfast. This is your job. This is what you do. How could you burn the biscuits? You know, and we could say the same thing. You're a Christian. That's what you are. How could you not? Whatever. So. That's true. That is true.
Charlie got to be rude.
Yes. So in the verse 8 of Romans 2, back to Romans 2, in verse 8 we have the contrast to the patient continuance. So I hope everybody has now a better understanding that, and you know, but going back to patient continuance, there's a conflict. I mean, I've heard the same people say, it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships, you know, one with another. And you know, okay. But then the same person would say, you know, it's not about you and him. It's not about you and her. It's about you and God. That's what it's about. And I believe the second more than the first. I think the second has more power in it. Disappointment. I'm disappointed. Somebody's disappointed me. It's not about really us. It's about your relationship with God and my relationship with God. And we need to just be patient and kind of get back in the game. I have not.
We all have a Bible. Each of us may have a different translation. None of us can agree upon the same thing. It gets into almost a fist fight, maybe in the same term, same congregation, or maybe different states or whatever, over the same verse. There's no patience, there's no tolerance. We call each other's names. And it's really pathetic. So if a person cannot agree upon the same word of God, then how on earth are people going to make it to heaven and like each other there?
Well, there's no. There's, and this is what we're going to talk about here. We're going to continue on verse 8, and we're going to talk about self-seeking. I'm going to start over. So, God, will render, in verse 6, God will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those by patient continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jews first and also of the Greeks. So we have self-seeking. That is the contrast to patient continuance in doing good. So you have somebody who's self-seeking. Are they going to be patient? They're not. Why not? We know self-seeking people. What are they going to be? How are they? Contentious. Are they demanding? Of what?
Their way.
Exactly. So it came to me when I looked at verse 8 that we have two different forces speaking to us. Who hasn't been self-seeking? Who can't fall back into that? How easy is that? It's pretty easy. We see the very different results of the two ways to listen to and obey, whichever way we decide to be. Patient continuance in doing good or self-seeking. Verse 10, truth, glory, honor, and peace. And you know, peace. It's going to, I think we have I think we don't understand peace like God understands peace. Because this is not a peace with each other. And this is a peace between man and God. Because Matthew says that woman or mom against daughter, father against son, who knows where that is? Anybody? Anyway. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew 5 says. But it's not the peacemaker between each other. It's the peacemaker between God and man. Because there is not supposed to be peace between man and man, particularly father against son, daughter against mother. Well, there should be peace within the church. Yes, but there is going to be conflict always because of the church. I think that's what Matthew is talking about when he says, yes.
You know, if we think of conflict, it usually has a very negative connotation. But if you think of conflict as simple disagreement,
right,
you're going to find people in every walk of life, in the church, and even in a congregation, who are not going to agree on everything. It's just not going to happen. How you deal with that disagreement is where the peace comes in.
What comes out in the end?
If you can disagree and even say to someone, I disagree and here's why, without anger, without pointing a finger at that person that says, and you're stupid,
right,
you don't agree with me,
yeah,
that's the message they get. The peace that I think God wants us to have can exist. It's all in how we deal with those things, whatever they be. And sadly, we've all seen it, that in a congregation, a particular individual or individuals will get upset over something, and the very next thing they do is leave.
Yeah.
And do something else. Either don't go to church at all, find another congregation if there's one nearby, or go someplace else altogether. And all of those things happen.
Where was patient continuance?
It wasn't there.
It wasn't there.
Probably over something that in reality may have been pretty trivial if they could just have disagreed and understood that God ultimately will decide on every little piece about what we're doing. Not a...
And first... And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I'll read that. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness. Here's how we're supposed to do it. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, which is patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. If people lose patience because of anything outside that list, I don't think that's the will of God. If they lose patience because of the color of the carpet, it were.
So whether you have three songs or two songs,
yeah,
or do communion at the beginning of the service or at the end of the service, I mean, there are a lot of little things.
Right.
That people get all, whether we paint the walls or don't paint the walls.
Yeah. Gang up on them and beat them.
The fact that there is people outside the church that are coming in to learn and to study God's word. If you're having all this great thing going on, what's going on in the church as you set more bounds because the Church of Christ is? On Facebook, you have the same situation. They're all Church of Christ people. And I have read both, and they even list the names of troublemakers on one side, on this one guy. Okay, I go and I look up all these guys of their remarks they have made because they're still there. And I think, my gosh, every one of them are right, including him. What is the issue here? And the problem was a simple AD 70, AD 60, AD 50. That was the issue. They name names, and people get on Facebook to learn the word. They are there to learn the truth. So they get on the Facebook site, boy, they see all this bunch of garbage going on, this fight, they call them, and you're ignorant, you're stupid, and you're deceitful, and you're not telling the truth, and on and on and on and on they go. What does the eye of the world see on the Church of Christ of these two different places? One may be in Oklahoma, the other may be in Tennessee. They're coming from everywhere. Why do they argue over such petty little things that continuously go on and on and on? And there's no resolve. Why can't they just stop, change the subject, and do something else instead of trying to make other people that's worth it? Oh, you're deceitful. Oh, wrong so-and-so, he's saying this. Oh, wrong so-and-so, he's saying that. Well, if we're studying the Word of God, so why can't they agree or disagree and let it go? Stop.
Here's the answer.
In a place like this, you just need to read the Word. So if you come to a class like this, where somebody has prepared a lesson to teach, or if you do some studying on your own, and you go out and self-evangelize with those people, that's really the best way to go about that.
I think it's still bad right here.
Now, one of the reasons...
What if I wasn't a member of the church? You think I would have walked?
the answer to why that goes on is because Satan is alive. Yeah. If Satan's going to do anything, he's going to work in the church, because that's where it's all at. That's where the good is. The patient continuance in doing good. If he can throw a wrench in that, he will. And so we'll see that. I mean, we'll see that. That should be somewhat of an expectation that we don't want to see. But we will. Any comment? Tom? You already rang the second bell? Okay, we're done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement of it. We pray, Father, that you'll soften our hearts, that you'll help us to be more compassionate, more patient, more forgiving, more patient with ourselves. Father, we thank you for your Son, because he has given his life so all our imperfections could be taken away. We thank you for the care you have for us and the love that would bring this plan of yours about even before the creation of the world. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.